Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ. 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at our studio in East County. Today we'll have news for you about just how much rain fell in last weekend's historic storm and what local areas have been hard hit by boulders rocking and rolling onto our roadways. On our Capitol Report, we'll tell you which local congressman has finally agreed to hold a town hall meeting with his constituents and which congressional representative has walked back on his call for a special prosecutor to investigate Donald Trump's ties to Russia. From Public News Service, learn about the president's budget and what those military priorities could mean for foreign aid and domestic programs. Hear how Trump's executive order is allowing the deportation of family members of U.S. military personnel. Then we'll have news about an appeal filed in a lawsuit involving Muslim men placed on the no-fly list. Plus, hear how your retirement savings could be affected by new federal regulations. Here in San Diego, learn why Sandag's board has authorized an independent investigation into misleading financial projections on the Measure A ballot proposal last November. Then hear a tale about three lions rescued from a circus that will soon have a new home in East County. On Green Scene, we'll tell you about the world's largest battery storage facility that SDG&E has just opened up locally. Then on our Education Report, learn which local schools with aging water pipes are now serving up bottled water to students due to concerns about water quality. Get details on an applesauce recall issued by Trader Joe's. And hear about a body found in the Anza Borrego Desert believed to be that of a missing hiker. On Crime Beat, we'll have a bulletin from the sheriff on three masked men suspected in a string of taco shop robberies in East County. Now, if you have a rain barrel, be sure to listen up to learn how to make sure you're not harvesting mosquitoes along with all that rainwater. On Destination East County, we'll have all the most fun festivals and events coming up across our region, from a lilac festival in the mountains to the Rolando Street Fair. Then learn about free tax help available for seniors offered by AARP. Hear why a Syrian immigrant who's been working as El Cajon's assistant city manager will soon be leaving East County. Then we'll take you on a road trip to Lake Jennings, with springtime almost here, and tell you all about some new outdoor attractions at the lake. As the weather warms up, you may be heading outdoors to do some gardening or plant a tree. But before you dig, SDG&E reminds you to please call first and get a free inspection to learn where underground gas lines are on your property so you can stay safe. We'll have all these stories and more on today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show, where East County matters. When it rains, it pours. This week's rains caused flooding of local river channels and made some waterways that had been dry for years suddenly gush with water. The San Diego River crested at 14.5 feet. That's the third highest level on record since 1900, more than a century ago. Qualcomm Stadium flooded, though fortunately the Padres were on the road. Some roadways across the riverbed remained closed for multiple days. Here in East County, the Sweetwater River, dry for over 2 years, is now flowing and measured 70 feet wide in Descanso as of Tuesday. Flooding caused closure of numerous roads in Jamul, as well as Otay Lakes Road in the Otay area and Wildcat Canyon Road in Lakeside, among others. Water flowed over the top of a 5-foot-high earthen dam near Viejas and Alpine. Across East County, streams and creeks long dry bubbled to life, bringing welcome relief after 6 years of drought. The rains also caused rock slides onto many rural roads and on Honey Springs Road. Motorists have alerted us that a car-sized boulder appears poised to roll down onto the roadway, and another boulder blocked a portion of Highway 78. According to the National Weather Service, since October, some communities in our mountain regions have received more than double the normal amount of rainfall. Julian has received 221% of its average precipitation so far, and Ramona has had 205%. The city of San Diego and many other local communities are now above 150% of normal rainfall levels. The National Weather Service website concludes, The rains have brought much-needed drought relief to the state, adding, hopefully we can finish the season out on a good note with a normal to above-normal March through April. Now, if you're looking to head outdoors and enjoy all the greenery and wildflowers blooming after this rain, you'll be happy to hear that sunny skies are forecast for this weekend. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery. This is East County Magazine's Capitol Report, bringing you the latest news and newsmakers from our nation's capital.
Republican Congressman Duncan Hunter's staff has announced that he will hold a town hall meeting on Saturday, March 11th at 10 a.m. at the Ramona Main Stage in Ramona. The announcement came after hundreds of protesters gathered at street corners outside Hunter's El Cajon office and on an overpass above State Route 67 last week to protest his inaccessibility to constituents. The congressman originally declined to hold a town hall despite repeated requests from constituents to do so. Residents with concerns over Trump administration policies and who oppose some of Congressman Hunter's stances did meet with a staff member at Hunter's El Cajon office, but they wanted to meet face-to-face with their elected representative. Tensions escalated after Hunter's staff told members of Indivisible, an activist group organizing protest, that its members would no longer be allowed to meet with the congressman's staff. Staff objected to the group videotaping meetings and said protests outside were disruptive. These constituents were told they would be arrested for trespassing and their vehicles towed if they showed up at their representative's office or parked in the lot outside. That prompted hundreds of people to turn out for an even larger protest. Some held missing person posters with photos of Hunter. Others had messages opposing repeal of Obamacare and rolling back environmental protections. Across the nation, many town halls, even in conservative districts, have drawn large and vocal crowds, with most attendees voicing opposition to Trump administration policies ranging from mass deportations to privatizing public education and to taking away health care coverage without offering an affordable alternative. Some congressional members, rattled by large and angry crowds, have tried to claim the people who came were paid agitators from outside their districts. That tactic has backfired, with photos now circulating on social media showing crowds holding up their identifications to prove that they are indeed constituents who want their representatives to listen to their concerns and protect the public's interests, not special interests. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Gene Carpenter.
Congressman Daryl Issa has altered his call for an independent prosecutor to investigate President Donald Trump's ties to Russia. On HBO last week, Issa told host Bill Maher, "The American people need a clear-eyed view of the nefarious actions of the Russian government," adding, "You're going to need to use the special prosecutor's statute and office." But in an interview with CBS News on Monday, Issa said, "I certainly could see where, if there is an allegation of a crime at some point, the call for a special prosecutor makes sense." But he clarified, "I think it's very important to realize there's been no allegation by any part of this administration or by anyone who's been to the hearings about any crimes." He added, "So one of the challenges we have is a special prosecutor exists when you have an individual under suspicion. Currently, we don't have that." Issa issued a written statement saying for a review to have full public confidence, he now backs an independent review, but stopped short of his earlier call for an independent prosecutor. Times of San Diego quotes Issa staffer Calvin Moore, who denies that Issa backed off on his stance. "The congressman isn't walking back anything," Moore wrote in an email to the Times. "For any investigation within the administration, the best way to handle that would be by independent review through a career investigator, not one led by political appointees or others who could create a conflict of interest." That's still his view. But in his statement, Issa said, "I want the Trump administration to be successful, and that starts with embracing high standards for openness and transparency. Right now, we have speculation and assumptions, but not clarity and fact, including questions about Russia's actions, what the FBI knew of the cyber breaches, what the Obama administration did in response, and potential actions of former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn." Issa called the Putin government a bad actor who should be carefully scrutinized. He said the United States has a vested interest in fully understanding exactly what happened, quote, outside the fog of accusation and political jostling. An investigation is not the same as an assertion of specific wrongdoing. It's following the facts where they lead so that American people can know what may or may not have taken place. Democrat Doug Applegate, who nearly defeated ISA in November's election, criticized the Republican congressman for walking back from his tough talk on the Bill Maher show. Applegate posted on his Facebook page, Bill Maher got played, but he got his ratings. Daryl got $1 million puff piece coast-to-coast commercial for free. Applegate added, reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Jonathan Getz.
President Donald Trump's call to increase military spending by $54 billion likely means cuts will be made to some politically sensitive programs, from education and the environment to science and fighting poverty. Trump first announced his plans Monday to the National Governors Association and shared more details in his speech to Congress last night. Lindsey Kashgarian of the National Priorities Project says it's unclear where the hike in defense funding would come from. She says this is the time for citizens to speak up, noting that cuts would have a trickle-down effect on state, cities, and counties.
There are a lot of reasons for members of Congress to care about this. The good news is that Congress actually has quite a large say in what the final budget looks like. So the right thing to do is to contact your member of Congress and let them know what your concerns are.
President Trump has said the money will come from, in his words, a revved up economy. He has also said it's time for America to start winning wars again. But the budget proposal has a long way to go, and some pushback from Congress is almost certain. The U.S. spends 21 times more on the military than it does on foreign aid programs, although in Kashgarian's view, foreign aid for causes like fighting hunger and disease does more to increase stability around the world.
We actually get a lot in return for that money in the form of added security for our country. And if we don't spend that money, we will need to spend more on the other side fighting wars. And I don't think that's a choice that anyone would want to make.
Kashgarian thinks any new military funding should come first from ending wasteful spending within the Pentagon itself. She adds programs that make people's lives better shouldn't be raided when some believe the Pentagon isn't doing its fair share to combat waste. For Public News Service, I'm Eric Gladys.
President Donald Trump has ordered the Department of Education and the Justice Department to withdraw guidelines that required schools to protect transgender students under Title IX, the federal law which bans sex discrimination in all public schools. The New York Times reports that Secretary of Education Betsy DeVos initially opposed rolling back the protections, but ultimately caved in to pressure from Attorney General Jeff Sessions, a staunch opponent of gay rights, after Trump ordered her to comply. A joint letter signed by top officials in the Education and Justice Department claims that an Obama administration order that transgender students be allowed to use the bathroom of their choice was drafted without due regard for the primary role of the states and local school districts in establishing educational policy. San Diego Democratic State Senator Tony Adkins issued a statement denouncing Trump's action and pledging state protections for transgender students in California. She said that the president would attempt to roll back basic civil rights for transgender students is unsurprising, but still infuriating. She added, "Let me be clear. California will not go back. We will continue to be a source of compassion and remain free of mean-spirited prejudice." The issue of transgender bathroom choice is expected to ultimately be decided by the U.S. Supreme Court. The High Court will soon hear the case of Gavin Grimm, a 17-year-old transgender student who was banned by a Virginia school district from using the boys' restroom at his high school, even though he had been doing so with permission from the school's principal for weeks without incident, until parents complained. After a court ruled in favor of Grimm, the case has been appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court. Born female, Grimm has undergone surgery and identifies as a male. At a school board hearing, he said, "All I want to do is be a normal child and use the restroom in peace." Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Gene Carpenter.
President Donald Trump's recent executive order allows for deportation of military members, spouses, children, and parents. His action eliminates protections that the Defense Department put in place during President Barack Obama's administration. The Obama-era program, called Parole in Place, prohibited deportations of undocumented immigrants if they are spouses, children, or parents of active-duty military personnel, unless they'd been convicted of crimes. Nathan Fletcher, a Marine Corps combat veteran and former assembly member, is speaking out against Trump's action, which could rip apart families even while a U.S. soldier is deployed overseas. In an editorial published in the San Diego Union-Tribune, Fletcher states, "The Trump administration's draconian and hastily drafted immigration orders rescind a key protection for military families, so that now even military spouses and children can be rounded up and deported. This will weaken our armed forces," he concludes. "It will harm thousands of military families, and it's wrong." Fletcher noted that Homeland Security explained that it wanted military personnel to stay focused on their mission, not worried about family members left behind. And he concludes, "The least we can promise those willing to give their life for our country is that their immediate family members can remain in that same country." Trump's policy breaks a promise made to recruits, opening the door for rounding up family members of those fighting to protect our country, or what Fletcher calls, quote, "a slap in the face to thousands of deployed troops with immigrant roots." San Diego is home to about 134,000 uniformed military members and Department of Defense personnel, as well as about 33,000 military families. So the impact of President Trump's action in our region could have devastating effects on our armed services families. Fletcher called on President Trump to reverse his action and fix what he calls a terrible mistake. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Miriam Raftery.
Three American Muslim men placed on the no-fly list by the FBI contend that FBI agents told them they could get off the list if they agreed to serve as spies in Muslim communities. According to the Center for Constitutional Rights, which is representing the men in court, the FBI wanted to collect information on U.S. Muslims in general, not people suspected of crimes. Even more startling, Center for Constitutional Rights states in a press release, in 2015, only days before the first major court hearing in their case, Tanvir v. Lynch, the men received letters from the U.S. government confirming their removal from the list and effectively conceding what the men have always known, that they never posed a security threat of any kind, and that the FBI only listed them to coerce them into spying on their faith community. A federal judge dismissed the men's claims seeking damages, but now they are appealing that dismissal. This week, attorneys for the men argued that they suffered significant emotional and financial distress as a result of their placement on the no-fly list. Center for Constitutional Rights states, they were unable to see wives, children, sick parents, and elderly grandparents overseas for years. They lost jobs and were stigmatized within their communities. And because, without consequences for constitutional violators like these, they are more likely to be repeated. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is John Fistier.
The U.S. Senate is now considering bills that could overturn rules clarifying how states and cities can help millions of private sector workers save for retirement. More than half of American workers don't have access to a company pension plan at work, so the Obama administration issued regulations clearing the way for states and large cities to create payroll deduction plans for those workers' retirement savings. But in a recent party line vote, the House passed legislation that blocks those rules. Stephen Hertzenberg, who heads the Keystone Research Center, says overturning the regulations could be devastating.
What it would do is make it harder for millions of Americans and about 3 million Pennsylvanians to save for retirement.
Supporters of the rollback point out that people can save money on their own and voice concerns that state or city-sponsored pension plans might compete with others, including traditional private sector workplace plans. But Hertzenberg calls that argument a case of smoke and mirrors.
Wall Street doesn't want states and big cities to negotiate limits on the fees they can charge, to be educating consumers on what's a good retirement savings option and what's a bad one.
5 states, including California, have created pension plans for workers that don't have them, and several other states and large cities are considering them, including Philadelphia and Harrisburg. Herzenberg notes that Republican State Senator Pat Brown and Senator Art Haywood, a Democrat, are looking for co-sponsors for a bill to create such a plan for the entire state.
They lay out why this makes total sense, that it doesn't compete with the private sector because these people aren't saving as it stands. So there is bipartisan interest in this.
Herzenberg says the U.S. Senate could take up the bills that would roll back the Obama administration regulations as early as this Friday. For Public News Service, I'm Andrea Sears.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, networking for social justice.
The San Diego Association of Governments, or SANDAG's, Board of Directors has voted unanimously to approve an independent investigation to look into why inaccurate revenue projections were placed in ballot language for Measure A. That's the regional transportation initiative that received 57% of the vote, but failed to win passage since a two-thirds majority is required. The action by SANDAG's board comes after an investigation by Voice of San Diego revealed that SANDAG misled voters on projected revenues. Voters were told that a tax increase to fund the measure would bring in $18 billion over 40 years, but that projection relied on a model found to be faulty. Some SANDAG board members said they were not informed by staff of the botched forecast, and they signed a letter calling for an investigation last week. Lemon Grove Councilman Jerry Jones sent his own letter to SANDAG's chairman Ron Roberts 2 days before the group's letter. Jones said the revelations have shaken the public's trust in SANDAG and regional collaboration. Supervisor Diane Jacob questioned whether the error may have been intentional and told SANDAG that the agency's credibility is on the line. The SANDAG board gave staff 2 weeks to recommend an outside investigator. The board, which is comprised of elected officials from all cities in the region as well as the county, will ultimately choose who will conduct the investigation. The board also approved a multi-step work plan aimed at improving data integrity and accuracy. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
Welcome. This is Mimi Pollack, host of East County Magazine's Animal Tales.
This is Rebecca Williamson, guest hosting Animal Tales. Lufuno, Arusha, and Zulu were forced to perform in a famous traveling circus for many years, but soon the trio of lions will have a new home at Lions, Tigers, and Bears, a sanctuary for rescued exotic animals in Alpine. Lufuno, whose name means good to love in Swahili, is a 12-year-old white lion. Arusha and Zulu are 14-year-old lioness sisters who have been together their entire lives. The circus owner has retired and agreed to never again work in the exotic animal entertainment industry. After new laws were enacted that restrict use of animals in circuses and other shows, Bobby Brink, the founder of Lions, Tigers, and Bears, says she's committed to giving these lions a great home where they will be well cared for the rest of their lives. But that will cost about $10,000 a year for each lion just to provide food and basic needs. Funds are also needed for medical care and to build a spacious new habitat for the lions to have room to run, since they are currently housed in cages awaiting their move to Alpine. To learn more or to make a donation to the nonprofit organization, you can visit lionstigersandbears.org. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ Radio, this is Rebecca Williamson.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
Last week, San Diego Gas and Electric completed the world's largest lithium-ion battery energy storage facility in partnership with AES Energy Storage. The 30-megawatt facility will maximize renewable energy use with the capability of storing up to 120 megawatt hours of energy, the energy equivalent of serving 2,000 customers for 4 hours. Last year, the California Public Utility Commission directed Southern California Utilities to fast-track adding energy storage options to enhance regional energy reliability. In response, San Diego Gas and Electric expedited negotiations and contracted with AES Energy Storage to build a 30-megawatt project in Escondido, in addition to the 7-megawatt facility in El Cajon. Together, the two projects total over 37 megawatts of lithium-ion battery energy storage. The 400,000 batteries, similar to those in electric vehicles, were installed in nearly 20,000 modules. The batteries will act like a sponge, soaking up and storing energy when it is abundant, when the sun is shining and the wind is blowing and energy use is low, and releasing it when energy resources are in high demand. This will provide reliable energy when customers need it most, and maximize the use of renewable resources such as solar and wind. SDG&E's president, Scott Drury, says, "San Diego County is a community of leadership and innovation, so it is only fitting that this community should receive the benefit of this unique project. By 2030, SDG&E expects to develop or interconnect more than 330 megawatts of energy storage on the system."
This is Rebecca Williamson with an education report from East County Magazine. Two local school districts in La Mesa and Warner Springs are now serving bottled water to students due to water quality concerns. The La Mesa Spring Valley School District has shut down drinking fountains while awaiting tests on drinking water quality. Superintendent Brian Marshall says the change is due to an abundance of caution. The action comes after NBC7 TV published a map showing location of schools built before 1986, which have the highest risk of lead piping. All but one of the schools in the La Mesa School Valley District is older than 1986. Testing costs between $250 and $500 per school, Marshall told NBC, and the cost to provide students with bottled water is approximately $1,000 a week. Tests recently showed that the San Ysidro School District has high levels of lead in its drinking water. The Warner Springs School District in East County's Mountain Region has also switched to bottled water after tests showed arsenic levels in the district's well water that are more than double federal safety standards. Senate Bill 1413, passed in 2010, requires school districts to provide safe drinking water to children. If water in pipes is found to be unsafe, schools can apply to the State Allocation Board for state funding to help pay for upgrades.
This is Jonathan Getz with a health alert from East County Magazine. Trader Joe's has issued a voluntary recall on three varieties of unsweetened applesauce after customers reported finding glass pieces in the applesauce. The recalled products are Trader Joe's First Crush Unsweetened Gravenstein Applesauce, Organic Unsweetened Applesauce, and All Natural Unsweetened Applesauce. The first two sauces were sold nationwide, and the last was sold in California and 12 other states. The recalled products have been removed from store shelves. Anyone who purchased these products is urged to bring them back to the stores and receive refunds.
The body of a man found near Indian Head Peak in Anza-Borrego Desert State Park is believed to be that of a hiker reported missing last Friday, the Borrego Sun reports. Identification will be determined by an autopsy. A caller reported that the man failed to show up for several scheduled hikes starting February 14th and may have attempted to hike Indian Head Peak, a steep ascent with no trail. A combined search effort by San Diego Sheriff's officers, San Diego Search and Rescue team members, and California State Parks personnel failed to locate the missing man. According to the State Park website, a hiker notified sheriff's officials of finding the body on Saturday. A CHP aerial patrol spotted it, but efforts to recover the body in the rugged terrain were blocked by bad weather until Tuesday. Rangers have indicated that the older man may have had a medical problem and fallen down. This tragic incident serves as a reminder to always hike with a friend, carry plenty of water and food as well as a jacket in case you are stranded overnight, and bring along a cell phone with GPS to help rescuers locate you if you do have an emergency. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
This is East County Magazine's Crime Beat. On the streets, reporting on crimes impacting communities across our region, helping to keep you safe and informed.
This is Rebecca Williamson with the Crime Beat Report. The Sheriff's Department seeks public help to identify three masked suspects armed with a shotgun, bat, and Hammer. The three suspects robbed Santana's restaurant in Lemon Grove on February 27th at 2:30 a.m. One of the men wore a mask similar to the symbol of the anonymous hacking group. Another wore what appeared to be a white scarf, and the third had on what appeared to be a surgical or dust mask. After forcing the employee at Santana's to open the cash registers, the suspects took cash and fled on foot toward Cypress Street. In all three cases, similar weapons were used. At least two of the men are suspected in two similar robberies of taco shops in Spring Valley and Lemon Grove over the past 2 weeks. If you have any information on this incident, call the Sheriff's Department non-emergency line 24 hours a day at 858-565-5200. You can also call Crime Stoppers at 888-580-8477 with information, and you will remain anonymous. You may be eligible for up to a $1,000 reward for information leading to a felony arrest of these masked men.
This is Miriam Raftery with news from the County of San Diego's Department of Environmental Health. If you've got a rain barrel, this winter's rains have been great. Your barrel is full, you're conserving water, you're watering your garden naturally, and you're growing mosquitoes. Wait a minute, what? That's right, rain barrels are awesome, but if yours doesn't have protective screening, your rain barrel could also turn into breeding ground for mosquitoes. That includes our native Culex mosquitoes that can transmit West Nile virus from infected birds to people, and invasive Aedes mosquitoes that can transmit Zika virus, though only if they first bite an infected person. San Diego County Vector Control inspectors say they have found poorly sealed and homemade rain barrels without proper screening infested with mosquitoes. So be sure to check your rain barrel and make sure it has safety screening on it, similar in size to screens on your windows that keep bugs out of your house, to keep mosquitoes from laying eggs inside the barrel where the mosquito larva can grow. Check openings where rain gutters flow into your barrel and keep your rain barrel covered tightly. Also, look to see if there are any areas outside or on the top of your rain barrel where water can pool. And remember, mosquitoes can breed and create new mosquitoes in very tiny amounts of water. So use only an actual rain barrel, not a makeshift device such as a trash can. Chris Conlon, a supervising vector ecologist with the county, said all people, even those who don't have rain barrels, should inspect their entire properties and homes and dump out standing water after this rain to make sure that mosquitoes can't breed. That's especially important in the case of the invasive Aedes mosquitoes, which can live and breed close to people in backyards or even inside your home.
You are listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from the desert to the sea.
The East County Magazine show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interest, not special interest. You can get involved by volunteering, get trained to be a citizen journalist, and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org. Now stay tuned for part two of the East County Magazine radio show.
Welcome to Destination East County with your hosts, Rebecca Williamson
and Jonathan Getz, bringing you the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County
each week.
This week's Destination East County includes Run East County in El Cajon, A Queen Bee Tea in Alpine, Jungle Book for Kids, Diva, Baja Blues Brothers, and Bon Jovi in concert.
Plus, we'll tell you about coming attractions including a Lilac Festival, the Rolando Street Fair, a Star Party in Lakeside, and the Circle of Art Show in Borrego Springs.
So stay tuned for all of these events and many more.
This year's Run East County St. Patrick's Day Half Marathon will be held early on Sunday, March 5th. Wear green if you join in this fun and festive event, which includes not only the half marathon, but also a 5K run walk, a green mile, and a tribes and clans competition to involve the whole family in fun and fitness. This event is organized by Run East County Foundation to raise funds benefiting several East County charities. To enter or volunteer, you can visit stpatricksdayhalf.com.
Now here's the buzz. Alpine Mountain Empire Chamber of Commerce invites you to the Queen Bee Tea on March 5th at 11:30 in the Alpine Community Center. Tea Time will be presented by Donna Marie's Tea Time, plus guests will enjoy vendors in a fashion show by Dana's Boutique. You could be chosen Queen Bee in a bee bonnet hat contest. The Queen Bee Tea also marks the beginning of honey season in Alpine, to be crowned by the first annual Honey Festival coming up later in March. For tickets and details on the Queen Bee Tea March 5th, you can visit alpinechamber.com and click on events.
Linnell Wiley, a vocal powerhouse from La Mesa, will star in Diva March 4th at the San Diego Performing Arts Center. The show starts at 7 p.m. with a pre-show reception at 5:30. Mounirath Powell Productions with Visionary Dance Theater in La Mesa presents this cabaret-style concert and celebration, including musings and music ranging from standards to popular music to musical theater. For tickets and details, visit visionarydancetheater.org.
Young Adult Theater brings The Jungle Book for kids to life March 2nd through the 12th at the Encore Theater in Spring Valley. The jungle is jumping with a jazzy beat in this special adaptation from the classic Disney animated film, featuring a host of colorful characters and your favorite songs from the movie. Banished by the ferocious tiger, Shere Khan, the boy Mowgli, and his friend Bagheera are on the run in the deepest parts of the jungle. On their journey, the two meet a sinister snake, a herd of elephants, and a giant bear named Baloo. After surviving a dangerous encounter with a band of monkeys, Mowgli and Bagheera must rally the jungle animals into a battle to restore peace throughout the jungle. For tickets and details, visit Young Adult Theater's website at yatsandiego.org.
Voices of the City Choir will appear in concert at the El Cajon Library on Saturday, March 4th at 2 p.m. The 30-voice ensemble, composed of homeless singers, will present a wide-ranging program of ballads, jazz, and gospel-infused pop songs, backed up by a professional three-piece rhythm section. Voices of the City Choir was founded in 2016 by Stephanie Johnson to provide the homeless and their supporters with an artistic outlet. The choir is led by Johnson, who has been honored with a San Diego Music Award, and Nyla Leilani, a multi-instrumentalist and trained vocalist.
The Baja Blues Brothers will perform acoustic blues and American roots music on Saturday, March 4th from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Winola Pizza Express, 3 miles west of Julian on Highway 78. The band includes guitar, harmonica, drums, and sometimes saxophone.
You're invited to celebrate spring with the Flower of Hope at the 13th annual Julian Daffodil Show. The beautiful blooms can be viewed on March 4th and 5th at the historic town hall in downtown Julian. The Julian Daffodil Project was started by Sally Snipes in 1990 as a memorial to her father, Jack Snipes. Today, there are over 4 million bulbs planted in the Julian community.
Bon Jovi, the hit band known for its sounds ranging from glam metal to country rock, will be performing live at the Viejas Arena at San Diego State University on Sunday, March 5th at 7:30 p.m. as part of their tour titled This House Is Not For Sale. The band has been honored at the American Music Awards and inducted into the UK Music Hall of Fame. For tickets and details, visit viejasarena.com.
Gregory Page will perform in the Visitor Center Concert Hall at Mission Trails Regional Park on March 5th at 3 p.m. The concert will include selections from his brand new soon-to-be-released album, So It Goes, as well as other classics from the extensive Gregory Page songbook. Page is a critically acclaimed recording and international touring artist whose original music is nostalgic, cinematic, and charming in its ability to have audiences rewind to the early 20th century through his guitar and vocal performances. For more information, you can visit Mission Trails Regional Park's website, www.mtrp.org.
Now for a preview of coming attractions.
Alpine was once known as the honey production capital of the world. Now here's the buzz. On Saturday, March 11th from 10 to 4, Alpine Mountain Empire Chamber of Commerce will present the first annual Honey Festival to celebrate the region's sweet success. The event will include food, vintage vendors, and kids' activities. The Honey Festival will have 6 event locations. Park at Joan McQueen Middle School, where shuttles leave every 15 minutes. To get the buzz on all Honey Festival activities, you can visit alpinechamber.com.
The Oasis Camel Dairy will host an open house and a tour on March 11th and 12th from 1 to 4 p.m. Friendly farm animals, curious camels, and an animal show featuring performing parrots, racing turkeys, working farm dogs, and a majestic camels will start at 1:30. Guests can ride camels, pet, and get great selfies while they feed treats to these gentle giants. You can also visit a mini farm animal petting zoo or shop for camel milk, chocolate, lotion, and soaps in the gift shop. For more information, visit CamelDairy.com.
You're invited to Spring into Healthy Living on March 15th from 9 a.m. to 12 noon at the McGrath Family YMCA in Spring Valley. The Health and Wellness Fair for seniors will include free health screenings, speakers, and information on how to avoid scams, driver safety, fire safety, and more. Health screenings will include blood pressure, balance, body mass index, a hearing test, stroke screening, check your mood, and more. You can also learn about senior-friendly exercise demonstrations, senior resources, and enjoy a healthy continental breakfast. The Healthy Living event is organized by the AARP, East County Chamber of Commerce, and Grossmont Healthcare District. For details and breakfast reservations, you can call 877-926-8300 or visit the East County Chamber's website at business.eastcountychamber.org and click on their calendar.
A star party will be held at the Sycamore Gooden Reserve in Lakeside on March 17th from 6 to 8 p.m. You're invited to join volunteer astronomers from the San Diego Astronomy Association and County Park staff for a night under the stars, viewing our galaxy using the same technology used by professionals to witness out-of-this-world phenomena. Inclement weather could cancel this event. For more information, you can call 858-513-4737.
The 28th Annual Circle of Art Show and Art Sale Celebrating Art in the Desert will take place on Saturday, March 18th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Sunday, March 19th from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Christmas Circle in Borrego Springs. Over 60 artists will display their work. There will also be live musical performances and foods available. As an added bonus, this is an ideal time of year to watch for spring wildflowers blooming across the Anza Borrego Desert. For more information, visit circle-of-art.org.
Fort Cross Old-Timey Adventures in Santa Ysabel invites you to savor springtime at the Lilac Festival on March 25th and 26th. Stroll through organic, sweet-smelling lilac groves in the mountains near Julian or hop on a hayride to enjoy views on a scenic nature loop. Plus, you'll find an array of unusual activities reflecting the community's rich pioneer heritage. Jesse Cross, dance caller and music man, will play live music and lead any willing participants through square dancing and hootenanny dance steps. Listen to the lively hoedown. You can also try your skill at tomahawk throwing, visit a petting zoo, get your face painted, make a fairy garden, paint a flower vase to keep, and dip your own lilac-themed candle the old-fashioned way. Potted lilacs and fragrant lilac stems will be available for purchase. For full details on the Lilac Festival, you can visit fortcross.com.
Violinist Alexandra Keegan and pianist Justin Gray will perform sonatas for violin and piano at Cuyamaca College's Performing Arts Theater on March 22nd at 7 p.m. Keegan is a Cuyamaca College instructor and conductor of the East County Youth Symphony. Gray is the music director of the Welk Resorts San Diego Theater, as well as the chairman and founder of the San Diego Interfaith Choir and Orchestra. For tickets and details, visit cuyamaca.edu/performing arts.
On Sunday, March 26th, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., the 21st Annual Rolando Street Fair will be held on Rolando Boulevard, south of El Cajon Boulevard. The event includes over 130 vendors with handcrafts, food, carnival rides, and kids' activities. Live music bands will include Len Rainey and the Midnight Players, Trey Tosh and the Band Called Life, The Routine, Paul Cannon, Iron Sage Wood, and Cassidy and the Music. Nearly 15,000 people attend this family-friendly event each year.
That's all for this week.
If you have an event you'd like added to our calendar, or if you would like to sponsor the Destination East County column on our website or the Destination East County show on KNSJ Radio, you can contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. Destination East County is the most read feature on our website.
We'll be back next week with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County.
See you around, East County.
You are listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from the desert to the sea.
This is Helen Ofield from the Lemon Grove Historical Society, bringing you the sounds of history.
This is Miriam Raftery, guest hosting the Sounds of History on East County Magazine show on KNSJ. Now, if you think this week's storms were severe, just listen to this. Back in 1976, Hurricane Kathleen struck our region, the most powerful tropical cyclone ever to hit San Diego and Imperial counties. With winds up to 90 miles an hour, Hurricane Kathleen dropped a foot of water on Mount Laguna and sent a wall of water 10 feet high and 40 feet wide rushing through the town of Ocotillo in neighboring Imperial Valley, destroying over 70% of the town. Another wave a mile high and 2.5 feet wide swept through Jacumba, demolishing a farmhouse there. The San Diego Union-Tribune said of the Ocotillo nightmare, there was no warning, just a sudden roar. The powerful storm killed 13 people in California and Mexico. It also washed out Interstate 8, crumbling the freeway and destroying a bridge at Meyer Creek, where a 600-foot-wide section of the freeway was wiped out, leaving a gully in its place about 40 feet deep. Eldo Sanders jumped in his truck to try and save people stranded in Painted Gorge out in Imperial Valley after hearing a call for help on his Citizens Band radio. He never made it. His truck was found overturned in mud, and his body was later found buried in a mud bank. Another resident of Ocotillo, John Patrick Riley, refused to evacuate his home. Rescuers from the Ocotillo Volunteer Fire Department found the 63-year-old man's body inside his home, which had flooded. An El Centro resident, William Mina, is believed to have died when his vehicle was swept off the Meyer Creek Bridge on Interstate 8 by a towering wall of water. Flooding and mudslides destroyed three bridges on the San Diego-Arizona Eastern Railway, ultimately leading to abandonment of that railway line. It smashed airplanes at desert airports and turned one plane on its nose in Yuma. A Salt and Sea resort area, Bombay Beach, was completely underwater. Authorities began referring to it as a lake. Most of the 14 cities in Imperial County were utterly inundated. Sheriff's deputies and the Navy airlifted residents out of areas west of El Centro, including an elderly woman trapped when water overflowed her bed. She was saved by sheriff deputies in a flatboat. In San Diego, the storm shut down a Padres game. Out in Imperial Valley, farmers suffered when at least 10,000 acres of sugar beets were wiped out along with many other crops. All routes out of Imperial County except for State Route 111 were shut down all at one time. 80 families were left homeless in Mexicali, and roofs blew off homes 600 miles south of San Diego. Hundreds of homes were destroyed across the region by the powerful storm, which caused $160 million in damage, ranking as one of the worst storms in California history. Alan Zangheim grew up on a ranch in Imperial Valley, and he recalls the flash flood that raced across the desert floor on September 9, 1976. The next morning, he remembers going outside with his dad, believing that the storm had passed. And then, he writes on his website, "We kept noticing some sunlight reflecting off the San Diego Mountains out towards the west. It was like a sparkle. My dad thought it was peculiar, and he said it looks like water. And we listened to the radio shortly thereafter and heard the flash flood warnings. My mom was scared and pretty insistent that we vacate the ranch, and we did. We returned to find out the next morning that a wall of water approximately 10 feet high swept across the Imperial Valley desert floor, wiping out the town of Ocotillo and killing some motorists who were unfortunate enough to be on Interstate 8 at the time the water came through. When we returned to our ranch, it was under 3 feet of water, and my dad's crops were ruined. It was due to this catastrophic incident that we sold our ranch and moved to the San Diego area," Zangheim recalls. He warns that due to the unique geography of Ocotillo, which sits on an alluvial fan below sea level, the same unfortunate events could very well happen again. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
Tax season is well underway. The deadline is April 18th. Tax time can mean loads of stress, especially because the U.S. tax code has become increasingly complicated. But Nancy McPherson, State Director for AARP California, says the AARP Foundation's tax aid program aims to alleviate some of the difficulties in figuring it all out.
The Foundation's focus is offering free tax preparation help to anyone, and specifically people who are 50 and older who cannot afford a tax preparation service.
Some tax experts say the average taxpayer doesn't need a tax attorney, but a service like TaxAid can offer helpful reassurance and guidance for basic tax questions and getting returns filed. McPherson points out that the trained TaxAid volunteers also are familiar with deductions you might not even know about. Just last year, she says, the TaxAid program helped Californians obtain over $96 million in income tax refunds and nearly $18 million in earned income tax credits.
Many taxpayers are unaware of an earned income tax credit, or they think that they don't qualify for it. And it's actually one of the most important forms of income support for low-income workers. So TaxAid can help people figure out if they do qualify so that they get the credits that they deserve.
Last year, nearly 3,000 volunteers in California helped almost 200,000 people file their federal and state income tax returns. McPherson says her mom uses the TaxAid program, which is available nationwide.
My own mother in South Carolina uses it. She's 92 years old. She likes to prepare her own taxes, but she also likes to have someone check it to see that she did it correctly. And someone can go over that with her to make sure she didn't miss anything.
She adds people don't have to be AARP members or over 50 to use the service, but it's important to get an appointment and ask what types of documentation you'll need to bring. For Public News Service, I'm Logan Pollard.
El Cajon Assistant City Manager Majed Al-Ghafri has accepted a position as Assistant City Manager of Dallas, Texas. A Syrian immigrant who came to the U.S. as a child, Al-Ghafri has over 28 years of experience serving the public in municipal government. El Cajon Councilman Gary Kendrick said he's been a real asset to the city, adding that Al-Ghafri speaks Arabic and has been helpful in translating and explaining city ordinances to the community's many Middle Eastern immigrants. It's great when someone can look up at the city council meeting and see someone who is from their community and speaks their language, Kendrick added. Fortunately, we have Ben Kalasho up there who can also speak fluent Arabic, he said, referring to an Iraqi immigrant recently elected to El Cajon's city council. A registered civil engineer, Al-Ghafri previously worked as director of public works for San Antonio, Texas, Lemon Grove, and North Las Vegas, as well as an engineer for Chula Vista before joining El Cajon as assistant city manager in 2013. Where he headed up El Cajon's Community Development and Public Works Department. The city manager has not yet announced who will be hired to replace Al-Ghafri, though in the past the city has hired an expert to conduct a nationwide search to fill El Cajon's second top spot. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Kim Cooney.
We're on the road in East County, visiting some amazing towns and meeting some incredible people across our region. Welcome to another adventure on East County Magazine's On the Road.
If you love camping but don't want to lug around camping gear, now you can camp out at Lake Jennings in a teepee. Teepee is a Lakota Sioux Indian word meaning living in. Long ago, the Native Americans used buffalo hides to make their teepees, which were toted on horseback from site to site across the Great Plains. Lake Jennings' modern-day teepees are made of canvas from Colorado and pine wood poles from Montana. They're spacious. Each measures 20 feet in diameter with room to sleep an entire family. Also new at Lake Jennings are kayak rentals. It takes about an hour to paddle around the beautiful lake with mountain views or just float for a while and let the stress melt away. The lake also offers rowboats and motorboats, fishing, miles of hiking trails, a kids' playground, tent camping, RV camping, and a group camping site. A morning on the water, afternoon on the trail, and evening by a campfire is an idyllic way to relax and feel the rejuvenating power of nature. Though you can easily envision yourself living in the past as you unwind in a teepee by the shores of Lake Jennings, the lake does have some modern-day conveniences, including free Wi-Fi. Now, the teepees, kayaks, and other new additions here are all part of a successful effort to save this campground from closing. Just 3 years ago, when Helix Water District took back ownership of the lake from the County of San Diego, the campground was losing money, and some directors wanted to shut it down. But Director Joel Scalzini, who was newly elected back then, convinced the board to let him form a committee to find ways to save the campground. Scalzini now says he's really proud about turning this campground over the past 3 years. Now it's finally in the green, he announced. The lake is actually a reservoir, storing treated Colorado River water for use across East County, as well as a hidden gem for outdoor enthusiasts to discover. It's located in Lakeside, just 20 minutes from San Diego off of Interstate 8, though it feels like a world away. Scalziti credits Kyra Haley, the lake recreation manager, for coming up with successful ideas to save the lake. Haley calls Lake Jennings a great, great place and says she loves taking a morning float on the lake's calm waters in a kayak with her morning cup of coffee. The teepees are already proving to be revenue generators in their first weeks of operation, and all you have to do is show up and bring your sleeping bags. The teepees have drawn one criticism. Rudy Reyes, an archaeology instructor, notes that teepees are not indigenous to San Diego County, where the Kumeyaay Native Americans originally lived in dwellings made of willows. Reyes says Helix Water should have consulted local tribes before adding the teepees, but there's a simple solution, he agrees. He hopes to see an educational exhibit added at the lake to teach visitors about local Kumeyaay history, which dates back 12,000 years, as well as more facts about teepees. For Scalziti, the teepees were part of a broader effort to save this local treasure and provide a unique experience for campers. He concludes, "We love to feel that we have something here for the community, a place for recreation, a place where people can come and bring their families and create memories for their kids so that when they grow up, they can bring their kids here too." Reporting from Lake Jennings on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
This is Eberena with a public service announcement from San Diego Gas and Electric. SDG&E has issued a reminder to the public about the importance of calling 811 before you dig. Last year, nearly 283 natural gas lines were damaged by third-party contractors or residents digging. Calling 811 or Underground Service Alert will help avoid possible injury or damage to hidden gas lines or service interruption. Scott Ferguson, Vice President of Gas Operations at SDG&E, states, "Damaging a natural gas line can pose a significant safety risk and disrupt natural gas service. We ask everyone, whether digging at a construction site or at their homes, to make a quick 811 phone call to Underground Service Alert to have utility-owned lines marked for free. Before digging, residents, business owners, and contractors should mark the proposed excavation area and call 811 at least 2 business days before the project is scheduled to begin. Underground Service Alert will contact all local utilities for free to have them locate and mark the underground lines, pipes, and cables they own. For more information about safe digging or to submit an online request, visit digalert.org. If you suspect a gas emergency or have questions regarding a gas odor or carbon monoxide, call SDG&E immediately at 800-411-7343. It's important to keep in mind that natural gas is flammable and that something as simple as a spark can serve as an ignition source. Use your sense of sight, hearing, and smell and any of the following signs to alert you to the presence of a gas leak. Dirt or water being blown in the air. Dead or dying vegetation over or near pipeline areas. A fire or explosion near a pipeline, exposed pipeline after an earthquake, fire, flood, or other disaster, and bubbles in puddles outdoors after a rain. You should listen for an unusual sound such as a hissing, whistling, or roaring sound near a pipeline, and you should smell for the distinctive odor of natural gas. However, although SDG&E adds a distinctive odor to natural gas to aid in the detection of leaks, you should not rely on your sense of smell alone to determine if you have a gas leak. For more safety information, visit sdge.com/safety.
This concludes today's episode of East County Magazine's radio show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technician, Liz Alper, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, and Pond 5. If you have story ideas or would like to underwrite the East County Magazine radio show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617. We'll be back soon for another edition of East County Magazine's radio show.